This is 11 February 04. We are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression. Just read an article that depression has become epidemic in the United States. Number of people that experience and suffer depression, going to alcohol, both prescribed drugs and unprescribed drugs, going to all kinds of doctors, counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, religious counselors, otherwise, running from life, suicide, a lot of things going on. What we're in the midst of looking here, we have some visitors here tonight. In fact, they doubled our congregation size. What we're doing right now is we're looking at what kind of God we have. And what kind of God do we have? With your view of God, remember that what I stress in a lot of my teaching is your view of God is essential to your relationship with Him and the way you handle life. We have a God who so cares about the individual that He has given to us the cure, solution to stress, anxiety, depression. Those are the things we're looking under the study of sad, stress, anxiety, depression. What God has given to us, that no matter what has happened to a person in the past, rape, abuse, child abuse, child neglect, what's happened to a person in their life, teenagers, in their marriages, divorces, different things, all these things that cause people to be totally bewildered in life, economic change, physical change, that cause people to go into SAD. God has given to us everything necessary to recover, to prevent, not only to prevent the suffering of stress, anxiety, depression, but also to have just the opposite going on in your soul in regard to who and what you are. To understand God's solution, though, it cannot be understood in the flesh. To try to understand it in the flesh, learn the Bible doctrine in the flesh, apply it in the flesh, makes us no different, would make a church no different than Zig Ziglar, anybody who's trying to sell think good about yourself, and that type of thing. It would be done in the flesh. Multitude of Christians try to apply what they learn in the Bible in the energy of the flesh. It cannot be done to the success that God gives you. So let's spend a few moments. What's the purpose of the prayer? Purpose of the prayer is to test ourselves and see if we're trusting His Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to what's going on in the text. Sorry about my voice, I'm losing it. To find out what's going on in the text. So let's spend a moment in prayer to give us an opportunity. You're not trusting me. You're trusting the teacher is the Holy Spirit. Trusting Him to open our eyes and ears as to what's going on in the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to take time out of our lives tonight to come together, open the Bible, and to examine Your solution to our problems, Your solution to our hurts and our sorrows and our disappointments. See, Heavenly Father, how You turn all these things around to Your glory and to our edification. I pray, Father, that You'll give me the words of wisdom, truth, and clarity to make these things that You've given to us, these blessings, real to us in our lives, in our marriages, our work, and whatever's going on, Heavenly Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are at the closing end. For those of you visiting, we're at the closing end of this study. We've been in it now for quite some time, covered a multitude of things. And right now we're looking at some things that God has given to you, who and what you are in Christ. Fundamentally, there are two different ways that you can, one of two ways you can function in life. You can function in life under what we've come to know and understand as Satan's, let's see if I can get a better pen here, Satan's lie. Now, Satan's lie is found in the Bible. And Satan's lie goes something like this. My self-worth is made up of my performance plus others' opinions of me, especially certain others' opinion of me. And therefore, when people live under Satan's lie, this is called the performance trap. This is where most Christians live because this is living under the law. And most preachers want their people to live under the law, performance for God. You try to perform for God, you're going to fail. You keep working on this realm, and you're going to come to what Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." You are going to think that you are unworthy, unworthy to be loved by God, unworthy to pray, unworthy to serve. All these kinds of things that start happening and bring about stress, anxiety, and depression in a person's life. Because we're functioning under the law, under Satan's lie, under the performance trap. All these different words talk about the same thing. And the reason that this is so appealing is because this appeals to our basic instincts. Now, what are the basic instincts of man? Hollywood tells us the basic instincts of man is sexual lust. Sigmund Freud tells us that's the basic instinct. However, we have seen enough passages clearly teaching us in the Bible that the basic instinct of our flesh nature is to be recognized for our performance. To be recognized for our performance, rewarded for our performance, or disciplined if we're not rewarded. All of this is going to result in stress, anxiety, and depression, and without using those words, all of that is taught by most preachers in most churches. You have to perform for God to love you, for salvation, spirituality, and to live your life. But what we're seeing is just the opposite. If you function, you can function under Satan's lie. Wes, how you doing? Glad you made it. You can function under Satan's lie, or you can function under God's policy, which is grace. You got two systems. Which system you want to work by? You want to go by the works system, the performance system, the law system? You want to go by this, or you can function with God on the grace system. You get to choose. You choose which system you want to work with God on. These are clarified in the Bible under two mountains. There is Mount Sinai, and there is Mount Zion. Mount Sinai is the mountain where he gave the law. Mount Zion is the mountain of the cross. You get to pick. You don't get to stand on both mountains. You either are going to function with God on the basis of grace, which means no performance on your part, no works on your part. All that you and I have to do is trust him. Simply trust the one he sent. Jesus Christ for salvation. I believe in Jesus Christ, eternally saved. He did it all. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God whom he sent for our spiritual life. This side, you are free of stress, anxiety, and depression because it doesn't depend on you. Over here, you can choose to live that way. We're getting ready to start very briefly, very soon, very shortly. I can figure out which is the correct adjective. The book of Job. And I hope that those of you who listen on the tapes and the internet to our study in stress, anxiety, and depression, you will smooth right over in, go right over into the study of Job, because Job is going to be so depressed, he's going to curse the day that he was born. You ever done that? Those of you that suffer, you ever curse the day you were born? Well, that's what Job did. And we're going to see, we're getting ready to start, I've been working on it. We're going to, in fact, turn with me tonight, both here, and those of you all listening on tapes and internet, turn to the book of Job. Job's an easy book to find. All you have to do is open the Bible to the middle, and you'll come to Psalms. If you open your Bible about in the middle, you should be right near the Psalms, one way or another. Now, if you come to the Psalms, go back toward the front of your Bible, and the book just before Psalms is the book of Job. Just before Psalms is the book of Job. Job should be put as the first book in the Bible, but I'll study all that when we get to it. This is the first book written. Now, I'm going to give you a head start jump. I'm going to have to develop this slowly for you when we come to it, when we start Job on Wednesday night here pretty soon. But look at verse 1 of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz, and boy, we're going to have more fun with the land of Uz. What's going on in Job 1:1? People, Job is the most important book in the Bible, if it's correctly understood. And it's correctly being understood starts at verse 1. Do you correctly understand verse 1? There was a man, Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. Now, I'm not going to do it tonight with you, but I want to tell you something. That sounds good. And nearly every preacher praises Job in Job 1. I will show you. Hey, Monty, how y'all doing? Come right on in. We got 2 seats left. Thousands are here tonight. We got 2 seats left. They happen to be right at the front. You got to get it early to get the back row. Okay, we're looking at Job 1:1. We're not in the book of Job. We're just looking at it to understand some things about stress, anxiety, and depression. People, I'm going to show you that Job 1:1 is not his praise, his problem. I'm going to show you how he can go from that, Job 1:1, blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil, to total depression almost overnight. This is his problem. I'm going to show you that Job is working with God. Look up here now on the board. We've got 2 systems that you can work with God. We've got the work system and the grace system. I'm going to show you that Job is working with God on the work system. Job has God figured out. If Job is blameless, morally, doesn't do any bad moral sins, he's upright, does all the right things before man, lives in a dread of God so that he doesn't do anything wrong, turns away from evil, if he does all of that, God will bless him. And what's going to start happening, and some bad things are going to start happening to Job, and he's not going to understand it. See, people that work on the work system, they have this idea, well, I'm bad, bad things happen to me, I deserve it. That's my view of God. If you're bad, bad things happen. And tonight, I'm suffering stress, anxiety, depression, whatever you're experiencing, all over listening, and I really deserve it because I'm a bad person. I made bad decisions. See, that's your view of God. God is up there in your view of God. Boy, if you're real bad, God's just going to get you. And if you're real good, God's going to bless you. The book of Job is going to tear apart a lot of people's view of God. And Job, it's going to take him 42 chapters. Now, we won't go verse by verse on 42 chapters. I don't think I have another 100 years left on earth. And I do want to finish Job before I die. But he's got to go through 42 chapters to learn what God is really like. And I want you to learn it, especially those of you that experience stress, anxiety, and depression. Job is working with God on a basis of works. That's his system. That's his view of God. And he's going to experience some of the greatest depression you'll want to read in the Bible, or you won't want to read. Some of you will hear your own words in the mouth of Job. And you're going to look and you're going to say, well, wait a minute. Job is this wonderful person. I'm this horrible person. And we both ended up in the same pitiful place. How can that be? Well, I'm going to show you. He's working with God on the works basis. People, we want to go with God on the grace basis. How were you saved? Were you saved by dealing with a God on the basis of works? No, we were saved by grace. And the only thing compatible with grace is our faith. And faith must always have an object, and the object of our faith for salvation is the cross. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You mean that's all I have to do? That's all. You mean I don't have to join a church? I don't have to do this? Commit? Make him Lord? Invite him into my heart? Do this? Do that? No. All you have to do is trust him. Trust the one God sent. So you started out on the grace basis, the grace system. You started out with faith. Why'd you change? Why'd you change over after you became a Christian into the works basis? And that's what most Christians do, and that's why most Christians end up suffering sad. Because they change. Now let me show you what God does. When you believe, here you are, when you believe in Jesus Christ, because of the work on the cross, as your Savior, you are given eternal life. You are saved. You are reconciled with God. Now what we're looking at in this study, and we're about to close out now, we're looking at many, not all. I'll never be able to cover all, because I'll probably never see all. But we're covering many things that God gives you graciously, that God graciously gives you the moment you accept Christ as Savior. And people, they're yours. You don't have to earn them. You can't lose them. I don't care how low you get, you can't lose them. You can't improve them. I don't care how good you get. They're yours by His grace and His love. And we have moved now in our study. We are now beginning tonight the 33rd. The 33rd thing that God gives us the moment we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Just picking up things that we've studied. We have seen that people, the realm that you live in, your citizenship is not on earth. It's not in America. It's in heaven. And the more that you can learn to live not based on the earth, and therefore looking at what everyone else has and what you don't have, what everyone else drives and what you don't drive, where everyone else lives and you don't live, the money you don't make, what you don't have, how you don't look, and you start living in that heavenly realm that you're in, you'd be surprised how the things of this earth just don't give you pressure anymore. And it's not phony. And it's not, I don't care. It's a reality. It just won't matter when you live who you are in Jesus Christ. But you've got to learn, we've got to learn to live who we are in Christ, which is lived by the power of the Spirit, learning more of the Scriptures, living in that state. So we've seen the heavenly citizenship, how we're household of God, not of earth. People, why are you depressed and stressed and drugs and alcohol and all these things that you're in tonight, and that hopefully in the series you've started to come out of all of this stuff? Things that have happened to you when you were a child, happened to you in life, It all relates to this cosmic world. You're relating it to something in the world. I don't measure up, and this isn't happening, and that isn't happening. The more you will just sit down and get your mind oriented to who you are in Christ, and that be your reality. I've used it a couple of times. I did it one year, and I just felt compelled right now to say it again. And I was in the Army, stationed in Germany. It never troubled me whatsoever that I slept in a little cot and had a green blanket and everybody else had a green blanket. I didn't get to have a designer blanket. I didn't get to have designer clothes. I didn't have a car. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. I didn't have a great wardrobe. In fact, I didn't even have a big closet. I had a little locker. And it never, ever did I get all depressed that I'm not like all those Germans out there in their cars. Why? Because my mindset was, I don't belong here. I'm visiting here. I'm functioning here. My citizenship is in America. And what happened and how I looked, how I rated in Germany didn't even matter. That even the fall lines that wouldn't even go out with me didn't depress me. I didn't belong, people. I belong somewhere else. Dear people, if you're hurt tonight, that's you. Why are you upset and hurt and depressed about a place you don't even belong? You and I are on a brief journey here. We're born from above by faith in Christ. We're from above, and you're going to go back to above. So we've seen we're in the heavenly citizenship, household of God, heavenly association, heavenly identification. That's the realm of reality. What's the realm of reality to you tonight when you think of yourself? Is the realm of reality who and what you are in this world, or is the realm of reality who and what you are in Christ? This is a mindset. And we're going to have to change our mindset. We see now you are inseparably united with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And people, I mean inseparably united. You can't break it. You can't be or do something that makes you unworthy. Others can't do something to you to make you unworthy. You are inseparably united with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Claim what is yours. Live it. In the Holy Spirit, you are baptized in the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit. These things are yours. We saw last time, number 31, that, and this is so important if you'll believe it, I want you to know who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. Now, this is a tough one, knowing who you are in Christ, because a lot of preachers won't preach these things. They have a lot of other things they're doing, make you feel good messages. Know who you are in Christ, and we know this from the Scriptures, if you have a pastor that's going to teach it. Then comes the crucial thing. Believe who you are. Believe who you are in Jesus Christ. I am all these things in Christ. I am reconciled with God. I am justified before God. I am in harmony with God. Regardless of what things are going on in your life, this is who and what you are in Christ. You are these things in Christ. Claim it. Know it. Believe it. And then what you want to start doing, you want to start living it. Live who you are in Christ. How do you do that? I've showed you so many times. By faith in the Holy Spirit, moment by moment, for Him to guide, lead, teach, empower, all these things. So we want to know who we are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, live who you are in Christ. And I want to tell you something. Stress, anxiety, and depression will start going into the shadows. They won't have any claim on you whatsoever. And it didn't cost you a dime. You didn't have to pay one counselor, one psychiatrist, one psychologist, one bartender, one drug pusher. You didn't have to pay anybody a dime. God gave it to you freely, if you just take it. He gave you all these things. He gave you the Holy Spirit and a pastor to teach you. Faith to believe it. It's up to you, will you believe it and live it now? It's free. We saw last time in Jesus Christ, this is a tough one for people who really hurt. You are complete. Well, I don't feel very complete. I feel like a complete loser. I feel like a complete bum. No. See, it's your mindset. You're looking at things in the world. I showed you scriptures last week. You are complete in Christ. You have everything you need. Everything. There is nothing lacking for you to live who you are in Christ. You have the power of the third member of the Godhead in you. You have all the blessings given to you. And that was number 32 last week. You possess every, and there's the key word, every spiritual blessing. Now, key thing I want to remind you about in that last week, you have every spiritual blessing. Question, and this is a big one, is that enough? See, with most people, that's not enough. I want material blessings. And that's why many are stressed out and depressed. I want romance, family, things, success, prosperity, peace, boom. I want it all. I want all that, and I don't want to be arrogant about it. I want all that in humility too. I'm not satisfied with just the spiritual blessings. Oh yeah, well, okay. But I want substance on earth. Okay. People, then you're listening to the wrong person. I have nothing to offer you. What I do have to offer you is that you have every spiritual blessing. If that's not enough, then I'm sorry. But if you'll get your mindset, I want to be content with who I am in Christ. God's given you everything necessary for that. And now tonight we begin with point 33, and we're coming down near the end of this. So with each one of these, you'll realize I've kept trying to bring it down more and more to where you and I live each day. So we come to point 33. In Jesus Christ, here's tonight's, 33, in Jesus Christ, I live by faith. That's very important. Because what most preachers will tell you, now that you're a Christian, you want to do things for God. Don't you think you owe God? God died for you on a cross. Don't you owe Him? Aren't you indebted to Him? Don't you want to go out and do great things for God? Sounds good. Until you get to the text. Until you realize God didn't want you to perform for Him. He wants to perform for you. What's your view of God? Is your view of God, He's a God who wants you to pay Him back? He's a God who wants you to work for Him? Or is He a God who wants to continue to do for you? He did for you at the cross by saving you, so now He wants you to do for Him. No. What's your view of God? He did for you at the cross, and He wants to continue to do for you throughout your whole life. How did you receive what He did for you at the cross? By faith. How are you going to live? By faith. Now, to do that, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to live in your flesh nature, or are you going to live in your new man, who you are in Christ, the spiritual you? You take your pick. You get to choose. People, how much more do I have to teach you about the flesh self? We studied five major things about the flesh self. It is continually being corrupted. You are more corrupt today than the day that you were born. And I don't care if you've lived a Christian life over half of your life, and let's just even say you've been in the Spirit. Your flesh self is more corrupt today than it ever was. God is not trying to make you a better person. God is not in the business of making you a better person. This is one of the most important things people got to understand. God isn't trying to take this flesh person and make you a better person. What God did, and we've seen so many verses, He crucified that flesh self on the cross. Dead. And He raised you up a new man. Your flesh self is continually being corrupted. It is deceitful above all else, more deceitful than your ex-husband. It is deceitful above all else. It is incurably sick. Incurably. You know what that means? God's forgotten it. He isn't even trying. It is full of evil. Wow. And the one I like the best, it's insane. It's insane. Remember what that meant. Being insane was trying to do something for God when you can't. That's insane. So we saw the verses that do it, and the flesh self works under its basic instinct. The basic instinct is work. People, we were born to work. That's a basic instinct. That's why it appeals to us. You're going to live under Satan's lie. You're going to live under the law. If you choose to live under flesh, weak. But if you choose to live by faith, in the Holy Spirit, member of the Godhead, He makes you strong. So many Christians work hard to perform for God, doing their part. I do my part, God does His part, and boy, this works out good. And I trust God that if I do my part, He'll do His part. I live by faith. That's not the faith God is looking for. That's the faith Job had. I'll do my part, and I trust God to do His part. People, it's not a joint venture. I'm sorry, it is not a joint venture. God does it all. Totally on the cross, totally today in your life in the Spirit. All you and I get to do is walk by faith and trust Him. Try to walk in the flesh, you'll eventually crash, be taken captive. Now, let's see how this works. Let's start with 2 Corinthians, New Testament. See if we can find 2 Corinthians. Get up in the table of contents, find the page number, because it's crucial you see it. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Tough passage. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's tough. It's tough to exegete. It's tough to explain. But there's a phrase we're going to look at that's not tough. Look at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is so important. In your life. To living your life without SAD. To living in reference to who you are in Christ. Now, kind of get a flow going. Look at verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage. Boy, I wish that were true. I can't be. I'm depressed the minute I open my eyes in the morning. Here you're talking about being of good courage. People, that's what I'm trying to show you. You live in the flesh. That's how you're going to start out the day, being depressed. You live in the Spirit. Look what he says. Therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're not in heaven. Absent from the Lord, why? He's in heaven. We're here on earth, in this earthly body. See, let me give you a quick out. I'm in Germany. I'm not in America. America's over there. I'm over here. So here we are, we're on earth, we're not with the Lord, He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father in His resurrected body right now. We're on earth. So how are we going to live? Since he's up there, we're down here, how are we going to live? Now look, that flows into verse 7 now. For we walk by faith. Now, let's do this grammatically. Remember when you diagram sentences? See if this flows for you. Verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage, comma, drop down to verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, do you see what I just did? Could y'all see that? Hello? Okay. Because this is important. Leave out the other stuff for a moment. See how I can always be of good courage. How can I be of good courage in the morning? Therefore, being always of good courage, comma, for we walk by faith. How do you have, or how you have this good courage in your life instead of stress, anxiety, and depression? You walk by faith. I am who I am in Christ. I'm going to walk by faith in the one that he sent. In Christ you walk. The Greek word. Now, you've been with me long enough. Those of you that are listening to this series, you've been in it long enough now. I didn't do a lot of this with you at the beginning because you're hurt and you just want to be stabilized. But by now, stress, anxiety, and depression should start be weaning out of your life a little bit. Once you start thinking, letting the Spirit open your eyes to more and more, you're ready for some things. The Greek word here, to walk, is what we have in the Greek. It is a present active indicative of peripateo. Now, this is P-E-R-I. This is a prepositional prefix, kind of like around, para, and then pateo. P-A-T-E long O. Peripateo. This word means to walk around. To walk around, to live. For we walk by faith. It's a present, active, indicative. What does that mean? This is your life, day in and day out. It's a present tense of your life. Present tense, not past tense, not future tense, present tense. For you and I, if you're going to live who you are in Christ, this is how you're going to walk in your life. Your work life, your family life, your social life, when you go to the store, when you go to church, all the time in your life. This is your walk. This is where you live day in and day out. For we walk around in our lives by means of faith. Pistis. That's P-I-S-T-I-S. Pistis. Simple word for faith. Now, this is an interesting word here. Stay with me now. Even this word can be twisted and distorted in this passage. The fundamental truth being taught here can easily be twisted. I've showed you before. This book is written. You got to keep pulling things out now. As you start getting strong in the Spirit, this book is written to do one of two things. It is written to reveal the truth, or it is written to conceal the truth. It'll do both, same time. And you can read this passage, and the truth will be concealed from you. It's an amazing word. All I have to do, remember, faith, pistis, always has an object. All I have to do is fool around with that object, and I change the whole ball game. We live by faith. Faith. Well, let's change that to Bible doctrine. We live by Bible doctrine. I changed the whole thing of walking just by believing and trusting in the power of the Spirit. Now I change it to performance. I've got to learn, I've got to apply, and if I learn more, I'll do better, and da-da-da-da-da, and it's a thing of performance again. Whatever my list is, that I have to do for God. All I have to do is change that little trust word there. People, this is why there's so many churches out there that you pass driving around in your communities. So many denominations, and they all use the same book. And all we have to do is we come to a passage like this, that we live by, we walk by means of faith. Oh, we do faith. We believe that if you will do our list, our church, our denomination, our movement, and then we trust God then to bless us. And I've changed this whole beautiful passage. I've taken it away from you. I've robbed you. I've stolen from you. I've cheated you. There are many fundamentalists who get real upset from their pulpits and their writing against these denominations that are ordaining homosexuals, because it's obvious the Bible is against homosexuality, and they make this big, big deal. People, I want you to understand something, that some of the most moral, straight men behind the pulpit are far worse than having a homosexual, because they do not teach the truth of the gospel. They lie to their people. That's the greatest evil on earth. What's the greatest evil on earth? The greatest evil on earth is not somebody who does bad little things. The greatest evil on earth, and please always remember this in your mind, the greatest evil is that which takes the truth and distorts it just a little bit so that it sounds right, but robs of the truth. That's the greatest evil. The greatest evil is not somebody, Black Bart, doing everything bad. That's not the greatest evil. People that do bad things to little children, that's not the worst evil. The worst evil is when a preacher stands up, supposedly speaking from this book and for God, and tells you, in order to be saved, you've got to do something for God. In order to be restored from sin, you've got to do something for God. In order to live the Christian life, you've got to do something for God. People, that's the greatest evil going on planet Earth. Take the truth and twist it, distort it, just a little bit. That's evil. These other things aren't evil. You're not going to follow them. But how many people will follow the false teachers? All I have to do is take a beautiful passage like we have, and I can distort it. Or I can set you free with it, people. Here's the beauty of it. Or I can set you free. For we walk by means of faith. Faith has an object. The object is God Himself, the third member of the Godhead. We walk by faith in the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, to empower, to teach. See, when you walk by doing, you're in control, aren't you? This is why it goes with our basic instinct. Basic instinct is being in control. I know a lot of women, well, my husband just always has to be in control. A lot of men, well, my wife always has to be in control. Would you please get off of it? It is part of the basic instinct of the human nature to be in control. It's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your children, it's not your parents, it's everyone. And the reason you're so mad is because you want to be in control. That's why you're mad at them, because they want to be in control. Everybody wants to control with the gears. Everybody wants to be in control of the gears. You know what we're learning about the ark? Well, the wonderful thing on the ark, Mrs. Noah, Mr. Noah, couldn't argue. They'd see who's going to be in control to steer the ship. The ark had no steering wheel. Nobody's in control but God. People, it's part of our... That's why works and the law appeals to us, and then we can't do it, and we become depressed and hurt, and we come down on ourselves, and we judge other people. That's why Christians judge one another. They're functioning under the law system, under the performance system. Christians love to judge other people. Christians love to gossip and slander and run down and separate. It makes them feel good. Christians love preachers who tell them about the law, what you have to do. I want to go to church that'll tell me exactly what I have to do for God so I can make a list and know when I go to bed tonight if I've done everything I'm supposed to do for God. I'm going to set you free. This word to walk by faith means you just walk by faith in the power of the Spirit. You're in control or He's in control. See the difference? You get to choose. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 will tell you, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Not law, liberty. For we walk by faith. Now, for further understanding of faith, the next phrase, not by sight. We walk by faith. We do not walk by sight. We have a preposition, dia, by means of, not by means of sight. Now, this is going to help us get a corrected understanding of the word pistis or faith. Am I right, or is this other preacher right? Who's right? I'm saying something distinctly different than he is. He says faith, to walk by faith means to walk by doctrine, to walk by doing our list, to walk by doing what we say, to walk our denomination teaches. Here this little pipsqueak of a little Bible church says, no, it means to walk by faith in a member of the Godhead. What do I have and what do they have that we can show you, we can see? This is going to help us to understand pistis. Whether pistis should be translated something that we can grasp like doctrine or doing or our list, or simple faith in the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. Not by sight. Eidos. The Greek word is eidos. It means visible. Visible. Walk by appearance of things. In contrast to invisible things. Walk by the appearance of things in contrast to invisible things. Therefore, in contrast with the act of faith, you don't walk by sight. What you know, what you do, all these things that we can look and judge each other. No, we walk by faith. Not seen. Not seen. This person can't be a Christian because I can see the way they live and boy, that in the way you live. People love to do that. I love Christians that like to pronounce who's saved and who isn't. I think that would just be I wouldn't want that responsibility. I would not want it on my shoulders that I got to choose and look, that person's saved and that person's not. I'm glad I don't have that on my shoulder. Boy, that is a burden lifted off of me. I can walk down the street, I can walk anywhere, into any environment, and I don't have to pick out who saved and who isn't. Now, if you want to do that, and your preacher wants to do that, and your people you run around with want to do that, I don't want to do that. I hope you don't. Get rid of that yoke. Nobody has appointed you to pick out who saved and who isn't. You can't. Some people will look so wonderful. Job looked so wonderful. Job wasn't even close to a relationship with God. You read Job 1:1 and you're going to say, boy, he is the greatest guy in the world, Christian-wise. He isn't even close. I'll show you. Not by sight. The believer is guided not by what he sees, but by means of faith, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Walking, living by sight is the way the flesh wants you to live. Science, seeing, known. Walking by sight is taking even the scriptures and walking by rationalism. Intellectual approach, knowledge, apply knowledge. The more you learn, the more you know how to walk. People, that is so not true. And this is not a statement against this Bible. This is not a statement against learning Bible doctrine. If you learn it in truth, it'll teach you this. People have this idea, boy, you learn more Bible doctrine and you learn. No, I want to tell you something. The more you learn of real truth in the Scriptures, the more you're going to know one thing. I don't know very much. The more you know in the Bible. I've been at this nearly 30 years now, professionally. Many years even before seminary. And I've come to know one thing. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. Got to just trust Him. And that's where the truth will take you. The truth will take you to just trust in Him. But we want to think things through. It appeals to us. It appeals to our basic instinct to want to learn, the ability to learn Bible doctrine and think in Bible doctrine. Pull this together, apply this and apply that and get it all together. I can do all of that. Another group of Christians walk by empiricism. Seeing is believing. Thomas. Thomas. Disciple. If I can touch the wounds, I will believe. What is that? That's empiricism. It's empiricism. I've got to see to know that God loves me. That's the way a lot of Christians believe. That's why a lot of Christians are stressed out and depressed. I don't believe God loves me. Why don't you believe that? Well, look at my life. Look, He won't do it. I can't win a lottery. I can't do this. I don't have money for that. I don't look good. He made me poor. He made me black. He made me this. He made me that. This happened to me when I was a little girl. This happened to me when I was a little boy. God doesn't love me. All I have to do is look around. I can just look around and say, oh, wait, God doesn't love me. Are you walking by sight or faith? Walking by sight. It's a tough one, but that's what you're doing. I've got to see to believe. I've got to see God, to be proof that God loves me. You want to see it? Look at the cross. He died for you. Gave you eternal life. And all these things we're studying. So you have empiricism. Thomas, if I can see it, I'll believe it. He knows doctrine. He knows the doctrine of the resurrection. But he has to see it to believe it. And there's simple faith. Simple faith, based on the knowledge of truth, but a knowledge that leads us to what? Trust the Spirit to guide us, to open our eyes, to lead us. Father, I don't know what you're doing. People, I don't mind telling you, before we give or get into the book of Job, you're going to go 42 chapters, and what is Job going to say after 42 chapters? I retract everything that I've said about you. You are God. I trust you no matter what you do. God, Job, do you have to go through all that suffering to get there? Yeah. And you'd be surprised how many Christians have to go. To get to that point, I trust you. You've got it. Mean it. Oh, people, anybody can say the words. I can teach a parrot to say the words. Don't matter. Mean it. You're God. I trust you. I commit my life. I trust you. And if it glorifies you that this happens to me, I trust you. And mean it. That's walking by faith. Walking by sight is the way of the flesh. People, the flesh has to walk by sight. Walking by faith is the way of the Spirit. Trusting the Spirit. Walking by sight is going to lead to stress, anxiety, and depression. Anger, control, all these things. Walking by faith ends stress, anxiety, and depression. And in its place, puts peace, courage, courage to live, whatever circumstances are. It takes courage. Gives you peace about it and courage to live it, and then love towards your enemies, towards those that hurt you, those that did things to you when you were young, in your life, you forgive them and you love. That's powerful. That's how you get rid of stress, anxiety, and depression. Walking by sight is walking by law that's in the Bible. Oh, I walk by the Bible. Let me show you the law. It's in the Bible. Walking by sight is walking by the law. Walking by faith is walking by the truth of the gospel. Whatever is common to walking by sight is uncommon to the spiritual life. And that's why very few Christians will do it. Most Christians have to walk by sight. Got to walk by law. I've got to see that I've been doing this. I've got to see that you're doing this. I've got to see. I've got to know. Now, very few Christians there. Because people, see, if you walk by law, you got something to control. You can control your own life. You can control everybody else's life. You can control if you walk by law, walk by sight. But doggone it, you walk by faith and you walk by His love. Love doesn't have any control. I can't control you with that. That's why most Christians don't like it. It takes a rare breed. John chapter 6, now is the time, and he's looking for what? He's looking for a rare breed. It's a rare breed that'll walk by faith. I trust you, God, to lead me in the study of Scripture. And everything that you want me to do, I trust you. You're God. It takes a rare breed to walk by faith, not by sight. It's difficult. Americans are having trouble understanding this. Why hasn't Russia become a laissez-faire society right now? Laissez-faire capitalistic society. We just don't understand that. Why wouldn't Iran and Iraq just run to be laissez-faire capitalist? Look how great it is. We just can't get it out of our mind. It's not for everybody. And even in our own country, we are every few decades getting more and more people in this country don't want to live by that freedom. They want to be taken care of from the womb to the grave. It's a rare breed that wants to live in freedom, even in the cosmic world. It's a rare breed. I want to take care of myself from birth to death. I don't want the government doing this. More and more, our society is getting more people. I want the government to take care of me, birth, education, health, wealth, everything. Now, let's go to the spiritual realm. It's even more fearful. There are even fewer Christians who just want to walk by faith. That freedom, liberty, and the Spirit. But people, I'm here to tell you, if you'll do it, if you'll dare to walk by faith, stress, anxiety, and depression have no control over you. Society has no control. People have no control. Circumstances have no control. And it's going to make Satan and it's going to make everybody else mad. You don't get all upset and depressed no matter what's going on because you're walking by faith. They don't understand it. This is how you're going to end stress, anxiety, and depression. Know who you are in Christ. Believe who you are in Christ. And live who you are in Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, what an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. And how we praise you. Father, sometimes I wish we were a big church just so that we would have a big band right now and a 500 course choir to sing praise. So we just do it humbly in our own souls. We sing praise to you. What an awesome God you are. That all you want from us is, will you trust me? Will you trust my son? Will you trust my spirit? Will you live by that faith in me? We praise you, Father, for God you are. I pray, Father, that your spirit will take tonight's lesson, tapes, internet, whatever, and get it into those few hands for those few people who, when they hear it, will say, yes, I want to live free of all of this stuff and the power of the Spirit. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.